For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Oh, you betcha, hour number two. We are zooming along. As my man Reverend Lovejoy said, rock and or rolling through a Monday afternoon. A happy Monday here at America's greatest college town, as the Dogs have defeated the eternal, the infernal, the enemy. 45-21, wasn't that close either, folks. Paul Johnson calling a timeout there with under a minute to try and get some points on them. But it's kind of a rule of thumb, too, when you're putting the third team in. But that's okay. Hey, you keep to score. That's all right.
If that is something that can give Kirby a little more fuel next year when we're on the flats, yep. I'm okay with that.
Yep, I'm with you. Great day for Georgia. Nothing to complain about at all. What a wonderful, wonderful win. And now comes the Crimson Tide on Saturday at 4 o'clock. Looking forward to it, but certainly reveling in the victory of the Yellow Jackets today. Young Tyler Head sitting in a crossway. And we're brought to you every afternoon by our good friends at Golden Pantry Food Stores. Golden Pantry does so much for the community. I keep going back to this. Their golf tournament back in late September raised $147,000. It would have been $150,000, but I lost so many golf balls that it put a little bit of a dent in the charity. And, of course, all that money,
it all evened out
right? Coming out to it. And a couple of folks got stuck with me as their quote-unquote
celebrity.
Yeah, for lack of a better term, that they're kind of add-on. So, so this guy stinks. And he's a D-lister, too. Holy smokes. But we had a great time, and we love Golden Pantry. I had to go in and get me a big old jumbo-sized Coca-Cola today because I wanted to come in
charged up, ready to
full
go.
Full speed ahead. So knew we had our man T-Bone Tyler Head in here today. It is time for the 5 at 5, and it is brought to you by Duplicating Systems. More than a system, a solution. So as I remove my headphones and admire a beautiful sunny Monday afternoon here in Athens, Georgia. Tyler, the floor, sir, is yours.
All right. So after locking up the SEC championship game for both sides a month ago, we can finally talk about the game taking on Bama
this
Saturday.
Yes, we can.
What matchups are you looking forward to the most?
Oh, man. Well, they're so good everywhere.
That's true.
When we were trying to get together, just to give you an indicator, kind of let you behind the curtain, for the Bulldog Illustrated, we always, obviously, we have to be working a week in advance. Mm-hmm. So we get about half our stuff done during the week, and then on Saturday night, Sunday, it is full speed ahead.
Right.
You know, your hair is on fire there to get the rest in there. So early in the week, Vance and I were kind of thinking, he goes, hey, we always feature five players for the opposition. He goes, give me Bama's five top guys. I was like, oh, my gosh.
Got room for the whole roster?
I was like, you going to put the whole offensive line on there?
Yeah.
Jerry Jeudy, Tua, their two best backs.
And that would be like 1A, 1B, 1C, 1C.
Quinnen Williams, Bugs.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm afraid I'm going to leave somebody out.
Yeah.
You know, Deontay Thompson. I probably just left out two first-rounders.
Maybe like the top five at each position.
Well, Jonah Williams and Leatherwood, the tackles, but if you only do one offensive lineman, take your pick. To me, Jeudy at wide receivers. That guy, kind of like DeAndre Swift explodes through his cuts. That guy explodes through the catch. He's a natural. You know, up front, you got Quinnen Williams and Bugs, and I'm sure I'm leaving a couple of top 10 picks out.
Probably.
So. They are so good. They are so good. I mean, I honestly think as good as Tua is, I think it starts with Georgia's run defense.
Okay.
If Georgia can slow down Alabama's running attack, Georgia has a shot. If they're getting 5 or 6 yards a clip, no way. They'll with his accuracy and their receivers. I forgot Irv Smith too is great tight end. It will be very difficult. And the thing, too, for Tua, that offensive line is so good. you're probably not going to get to him. Maybe a sack. You got to make him uncomfortable.
Sorry, I was about to ask, was the pass rush has been hit or miss for us this season anyway.
And that's fine. But you got to make him uncomfortable. And I know Kirby and Mel Tucker, they're coming up with different schemes and different looks, just trying to change things up to make him uncomfortable. So I think that's a big thing. Our friend Fireball Rodney just tweets in, no penalties. Got Fireball. Who are we playing? Good luck with that. Are you into the Fireball early? You know, I mean, come on. You know the Zebras are going to be
Don't touch anybody in the back. Just don't do that.
Didn't Auburn have a TD ripped away from them too?
For a holding call on Saturday.
The one for Mississippi State.
That was awful.
The worst of the season. That was just terrible there. But there's no doubt that you can't miss opportunities. You got to cash in. But at the same time too, it's like we said this against Tech. Oh, George did a great job. You can't get wigged out. You know, when it turns into a possession game, you got to capitalize, but at the same time, you got to stay patient. Alabama's got a great team. We all know that too. Georgia's got a great team too. Georgia's got a good chance to go out there and win this football game. And I think this is one, you know, probably last year, three quarters of people were picking Alabama. This year, probably 98% are picking Alabama.
Most likely.
I kind of like the Dogs rolling in here like this for Georgia to have a chance. The secondary is going to have to play good. Last year's secondary was more experienced. This year's secondary is much better.
Oh, yeah.
Hands down. And
so I assume Baker would probably be on duty most of the game.
I would guess. Of course, they got a couple other five stars out there. You know, that's where you got Stokes and Campbell and Reed and LeCount and Webb. Those guys are going to have to play good. Everybody's going to have to play good. And you know, if the Dogs do it, Georgia's got a chance. And kind of going back to what we were talking about, you know, thinking before the season, the second half of the year with all these elite recruits, you just think what a difference like Jordan Davis has made on that defensive line. I mean, that's the kind of guy that Bama has had up there. Now, they've still got him. And to me, that's the one area where Alabama has just the clear advantage over almost everybody they play, is on that front seven, particularly the defensive line. And I think if you went down to it and looked at the accolades and looked at the draft ratings and all, you know, how many guys on Georgia's front seven could start for Bama? I don't know. Maybe they would tell you none. But Georgia's guys on the front seven can play. And they're playing great together. And for guys like Jonathan Ledbetter and DeAndre Walker, who delivered on their senior day against Tech,
absolutely,
this is a chance for them to make their mark. And I really feel good about – I'm not going out here and pulling a Joe Namath and guaranteeing a win, but I really feel good about Georgia on Saturday. I think the Dogs are going to come out and play really well. And you know what? I mean, last year Georgia played great and came up just short. In 2012, Georgia played great and came up just short. Bama played great in both of those games, and it was their day. You know, unfortunately for the Dogs, both of those games, they were 50-50 games, and they went Bama's way. I mean, last year, no question, I mean, the officials. I mean, there were three grotesque things that happened by an incompetent crew, which it at least one of those calls gone Georgia's way, the Dogs probably win the game. And that's a bitter pill to swallow. And I know for me, as a lifelong fan, I'll never get over that loss. And it's been hard. There's not a minute that goes by that I don't think about it. But I commend this team for putting themselves back in the position again.
Mm-hmm.
It's not easy to do. Would have been easy to come out and say, oh, you hang your head. You're like 8-4. Well, we'll be back in it next year.
Right.
But Georgia's back in it this year. This was a bridge-type season.
Yeah.
You know all the freshmen and sophomores playing out there. This was a bridge-type season for Georgia. So it's been great. I would say I can't wait for Saturday, but, man, I'm enjoying what happened this past Saturday. And
Let it all come in time.
Yeah,
there
listen,
you go.
And here's the other thing, too. I mean, anybody who knows sports knows this. The familiarity between these two coaching staffs.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's not to say a trick play or something funny might happen. They're not going to be a ton of secrets. It's the same basic scheme for both of these sides.
It's like they're playing a mirror.
Yes. And on offense, they're wanting to do the same thing. And when you say a mirror, almost to the point where Fromm's righty and Tua's lefty.
Yeah.
You know, you're
exactly.
Literally looking into a mirror right there. So, no, I think it's going to be fun. I'll tell you one thing. The special teams was not good for Georgia against Tech, with the exception of Mecole Hardman's punt return. And Rod did not have a great game. I don't know how much of that was – you know, him being disappointed about not making the Lou Groza Award finals. But he's got to go out there and have the kind of game he had against Bama last year in the national title game. He's got to be a weapon. Because I think with Rod and with Mecole Hardman, that's an area where Georgia's got an advantage.
Right.
So I'm excited about it and am enjoying what happened this past Saturday. And, again, just when you think – back-to-back wins over Tech, back-to-back wins over Florida, and the last 2 years a 10-1 record against Florida, Auburn, Tech, Tennessee, and South Carolina. I mean, we all know what the standard is, and it's crazy when you think about it. The national championships that have been won by schools and states that border Georgia, with Alabama and Auburn and Florida and Florida State and Clemson.
Mm-hmm.
And we're right there in the middle. So kind of the saying is why not us? And you know, we were so close last year, and I really feel like we're going to get there. And I think we'll do it a couple of times, if not more, with Kirby. But, you know, to be right back in the position in what is essentially an Elite Eight game.
Mm-hmm.
And this team's getting better and better. They're getting better and better. So we've at least – got a puncher's chance on Saturday.
We'll see what happens.
And here's – listen, Isaiah Wynn was a great player. This offensive line is better. The job that Sam Pittman and these guys have done with all the injuries, I mean, you think if we hadn't have been beaten up front, how good this bunch would be?
Mm-hmm.
And we did that Saturday without Cleveland and Mays.
Yep.
It was impressive.
We'll see what happens. Rolling along on the 5-5 here. Backtracking a little bit to Saturday. With the regular season of college football ending, that means – some coaches are getting shown the door.
Oh, boy.
We've already seen Cliff Kingsbury get kicked out in Lubbock. We assume he's going to be a stunt double for Ryan Gosling or something.
He's handsome, yes.
Coach Hatt out at North Carolina was not asked to stick around anymore.
That did not end well with their brawl against
his
state.
No, it did not. And the question that seems to kind of come up every year, especially this year, is how much longer is Tech going to hang on to Paul Johnson?
Well, and here's the thing with Paul Johnson. That guy is a good coach. He has mastered that offense. You know, Tech went 7-5 this year. And listen, I mean, two of the losses were Georgia and Clemson. And, you know, Pitt's playing for the ACC title. South Florida's got a good team. Duke being – by the way, how about just a kind of sneaky, huge margin of victory? Did you see Wake beat Duke 59-7? It's like, whoa. Don't know where that came from.
Same Wake team that beat NC State.
There you go.
When they were pretty decently ranked.
Deeks, they could be a sleeper playoff contender there. So, you know, I think with Paul Johnson and Tech, you know, they're not really a factor, or they rarely are, maybe with only a couple players when it comes to recruiting against Georgia. But with what he does, they are a burr in the saddle.
Oh, he's one of the best option coaches is.
And this offense, he essentially invented it for the great Irk Russell down in Statesboro to utilize Tracy Ham. I mean, that's kind of the twist for me. I saw it born before my eyes, but
didn't know what it was going to become, the thorn in your side one day.
Just to come back. So, but even the even though Georgia dominated and won the game, and listen, you should play good teams every week, but it's like that's a heck of a challenge, and you have to turn around and get ready for Alabama.
Right.
That is a heck of a challenge there. So I think from a Tech standpoint, they know that offense can be an equalizer against schools like Georgia and Clemson. So for me, you know, I would like for Tech to not run that offense. But then at the same time, you know, if they did bring somebody in who went with a more, I guess for lack of a term, modern approach, then you think, all right, could they do some things then where they would maybe be a factor against Georgia in recruiting?
Right.
And try, you know, hey, you come play in Atlanta, the
right.
big city, you know, well, Hollywood East and all that. So I can see both sides of it from Georgia's standpoint and from Tech's standpoint. Odds are if they did make a move in the next couple of years and go to someone who doesn't run that triple option, then they would struggle for a couple of years.
Well, they don't necessarily have to abandon the triple option. You have Coach Bohannon up at Kennesaw State that runs a pretty darn good one up there as
well. Come on, he's a bulldog through and through.
I'm just saying, if they wanted to keep the option around, they could go after him.
You've got Jeff Monken at Army, who, like Paul Johnson, did a great job at Georgia Southern. So
they wouldn't have to abandon it. They didn't want to.
I would guess at some point they're going to make a move. You know, whether he retires or whether he might be there another 10 years. Who knows? Who knows? I would guess they might want to go another direction because, you know, it's obviously given them a shot. He's beaten Georgia, in Sanford Stadium three times. Georgia really should have won all three games. But that option, that what they do is a big reason for that. The thing is now with Kirby, obviously, and I don't want to get cocky, we got to play him again in 363 days. Kirby has diagnosed it very well these last two seasons. So I don't know. And I don't know the financial situation at Tech, but you know, they just re-upped him. So I think you'll see him there, you know, for at least a couple of years. And they are competitive almost every year. What have they missed, maybe two bowls since 97?
Something like that. Well, so it's only one fan's perspective, but my friend Philip is a diehard Techie.
How are you friends with this
guy?
Well,
he actually goes to UGA, oddly enough.
What? A Tech fan goes to Georgia?
It's an interesting situation. I asked him earlier on Twitter.
This guy should be dead to you.
He said he wants to revamp everything and go more traditional or, you know, more new age with offense at Tech.
No, if he had it his way.
Again, that's one fan's perspective. But.
Now, and listen, you don't, again, not trying to jinx anything. They could get a transforming player, but, you know, the odds are they would probably be bad for a couple of years. They don't even have a tight end on the roster.
You have to rebuild everything.
Yes. So that would be kind of fun.
Yeah, for a couple of years there at least. Okay. Next up on the 5 at 5, kind of lost.
Tech fan going to Georgia.
Yeah, we give him a lot of we'll give him a tough time.
Young
don't worry.
Needs to seek some counseling.
Yeah. I wonder if he's listening. I'll ask him about that tomorrow. But moving on at the 5 at 5, kind of lost in the shuffle of football this weekend. The match between Phil and Tiger on Friday was.
Did you watch it?
I did watch it. Okay. It was free online. I wasn't going to pay the pay-per-view price, but I saw the free link. I was like, why not? And, you know, I'm not really much of a huge golf person. I keep up with the majors, you know, the Masters and, you know, tour championships and whatever. But it was free, so I had it on while I was watching, like, UCF, USF.
Yeah.
And then, you know, I'm like, man, these guys, they're going shot for shot for each other. It's getting pretty good. And then they started having the, you know, the extra holes and everything. And then by the end of it,
22, is that
went
right?
to 22. Wow. And by the end of it, I'm like hanging on the edge of my seat, wondering why Phil Mickelson can't make this putt. And I'm like analyzing the turf and, you know, how it's, you know, affecting the way he putts it and everything. And, you know, again, I'm not even much of a golf person.
No, I hear you.
If they did this again, who are two golfers that should go head to head?
The thing about Mickelson and Tiger is you've got such a history,
right?
You know, going back because they've basically been contemporaries,
right,
since the mid 1990s. I mean, you know,
he did rivals too.
Yeah, I mean, Phil finished third at Augusta in '96. Tiger won it in '97. Yeah, that was 20 years ago. So, and I think through the years that they have, I think they've kind of, they probably like used to hate each other, but now I think they've kind of come together there, and they certainly realize they can make a lot of money off of one another. So I would think the next, what would you think? Maybe Spieth against Rory?
Okay. I think that could get some good draw.
I think you also
got to think in elements like who's going to watch this.
That's exactly right. And that's where, I mean, Tiger turns a needle like no other player.
Without a doubt.
Now I'll tell you, this must have been around 82 or so. The first time TV really put something like this together, and it might have been Thanksgiving weekend or between Thanksgiving and Christmas, they did the Skins game. And it was Nicholas Palmer, Watson, and Player. And it was tremendous. And me and my dad watched it because you got, you know, the big four. And the deal with that was, you know, everybody, you obviously play your own ball, and it was, say, I can't remember what it was, say it was $10,000 a hole.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if Player and Watson both made a three and Nicholas made a four and Palmer made a 10, it didn't matter. That skin carried over to the next hole for all four guys.
Yeah.
So that was tremendous, and I love that. And, again, you're talking about – you know, the greatest player ever and three of the, you know, six or seven greatest players ever who were all contemporaries with one another. So that was always my favorite one there, the old Skins game. So maybe they could do something like that and try and do, you know, Tiger, Phil, I don't know, Spieth and Rory. It might be kind of fun.
Like old guard versus new guard almost.
Yeah, I think that would be a fun thing to do. Yeah, I do. Okay. So you enjoyed it, though. That's good.
I did. That's
Brain was watching it,
that's
too.
That's the most I've ever gotten into golf in my life.
Okay. All right. Well, that's good. Hope we got a new fan there.
So, I'll definitely be tuning in some more. Again, it just happened to be free from some kind of error, and Bleacher Report had it streaming live. So I was like, why not?
There you go. It's good stuff. All right, what else we got?
Okay, so this past weekend was obviously Rivalry Saturday, and, you know, depending on how each team's doing every year, it kind of changes which rivalries are important year by year. If you had to pick the top three overall rivalries in college football all time, what would they be?
That's a great question. I think two, Alabama-Auburn's number one.
Okay.
I mean, that is far and away the biggest event in that state. I think you'd probably have to go Michigan-Ohio State.
Okay.
Number two. You know, there's so many, like for us, Georgia and Tech, Georgia-Florida, I mean, Georgia-Auburn, but you know, for us, and then, you know, you got Clemson-South Carolina. I mean, the Egg Bowl, those ends, you know, it used to be Texas and Texas A&M, and I don't think you can quite go Texas-Oklahoma. They're all big. You know, the Apple Cup, Oregon-Oregon State, Arizona-Arizona State, the Holy War, anything in-state is big. But I would say if there was another one you wanted to look at, really the grand old national rivalry is a Notre Dame-USC game.
Okay.
Those would probably be, from a national perspective, would probably be the three that most people would look at.
I'd have to agree.
I mean, for me personally, I mean, listen, I mean, Florida State's enormous. I mean, you know, it's – but I think the Iron Bowl is number one.
Okay. Fair enough.
I think the Iron Bowl is number one.
And one more before we run into our commercial break here. Your Georgia trivia question of the day.
Okay, hang on.
Ready? Conjure up all those memories.
All right.
So in 2012, the Georgia backfield was Gershel, Todd Gurley,
Keith Marshall.
Yes. However, neither one of them started the season opening game against Buffalo.
Ah.
Who did start that game at tailback?
I'm going to go out on a limb and say, was it Ken Malcolm?
It was Ken Malcolm.
Ken Malcolm
who
slid
transferred
in there
after that season to Southern Illinois.
Now, and at one point, because Gurley ran a kickoff back and had a touchdown, Todd was averaging 3.8 points per touch. Mm-hmm. Not yards, but points per touch.
Yes.
A man was scoring touches. By the way, did you see Chubb had a great catch?
He mossed
TD,
that guy.
And Sony went over 100 again yesterday, despite getting bent backwards on one play. I mean, that was – having those guys and Gurley doing what they're doing, I mean, you talk about tailback you.
And for reference, Ken Malcolm had 57 carries for 272 and two touchdowns all of 2012.
You know, he punched the one in late at Missouri.
Yes.
Yeah, that made it 41-20 after Jarvis Jones made his second big play. It's good stuff.
You always know the answer.
Yeah, these more recent ones are a little bit tougher for me. So, that's good stuff, though. We're going to keep you around, T-Bone. He is Tyler Head. I'm Jeff Dantzler. That is the 5 at 5.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.